Derek.
And I'm Noah.
Or am I?
And you're listening to A Bite Of,
where we take our current favorite pop culture obsession and enjoy it one nibble at a time.
Yay!
Who's sitting across from me? Is it a Skrull?
Okay. There's going to be so much of that, apparently. Secret Invasion is finally here. It's been a long journey since we've talked about really anything Marvel, especially TV show-wise.
It's marvelous to be back.
She-Hulk was the last one?
Shulk?
Almost a year ago, 9 months, or give or take?
The time is a blur.
And that was the last time we did it before you watch. So it's nice to do these again. I wonder when the first one we're going to do that's not Marvel.
I don't know. What would it be?
Percy Jackson. Oh. Hunger Games.
Ooh, Hunger Games.
All right, but this is all about Secret Invasion, the newest MCU Disney Plus show. Samuel L. Jackson, Colby Smulders, Martin Freeman, all these great people. Very excited. This episode is to get you, and honestly ourselves, in the mind of Secret Invasion to get ready. We're going to talk about briefly the comics.
Briefly, real quick.
You know how comics are. There's too much. There's a lot. But we really narrowed it down to like what we think is the best things now.
And I think like out of all of the Marvel things that we've covered so far, this one had a pretty straightforward run.
Yeah. I mean, look, honestly, before you watch Secret Invasion, Skrulls, you can stop listening. No, I'm just kidding. But really, I mean, yeah, so there's lots to talk about, but you know, we're going to talk about the MCU. We're going to talk about potential theories. Why is this happening? What's the impact? What could it lead to? All the fun conversations that are not confined to a single episode that we are talking about. So, kicking things off, make sure you follow us on all the social media platforms. Say hi. Rate, review, subscribe. Do all those normal podcastery, listenery things that you normally would do because it makes us very happy. We like that kind of thing.
Be nice to us. Thank you so much.
We have a Patreon, $1 a month, $12 for the whole year, exclusive things. We have it is really a steal. It's a Secret Invasion.
Steal. We're on fire tonight.
We have a series coming out that is before the MCU, meaning we're talking about Howard the Duck, X-Men, all that great stuff prior to the MCU being established. It's going to get weird because they're all coming back anyway, but this is
before.
You know what we mean.
Yeah, they're not in a phase.
Yeah.
They're the Old Testament of Marvel. Before Jesus came, aka Iron Man.
Marvel BC.
Exactly.
Or yes. BF before phase. Right. What would
P.
be? Oh.
Phase. I like your fancy way of spelling phase. I think it's F-A-Z-E.
With the apostrophe.
Faze.
All right, we know what we're talking about. So who do you trust? Possibly us.
I don't think us at all. I think we are secret imposters taking over this podcast.
All right. Do you want to officially announce the episode?
Yes. Let us officially take a bite of Before You Watch Secret Invasion. Wee do wee do wee.
Why?
Aliens. Who can you trust?
Remember, this is like Black Widow / Civil War tone and theme. So we have to be espionage-y. Okay. This is serious.
I could never make it as a spy.
Globe trotting, text in the bottom, where we are currently at with the.
Oh, yeah. That I like.
That. That's where we have to be. No singing anymore.
No.
Just
I'm going deep undercover as a cabaret singer.
Okay. All right.
Yes. I've got my plot. New York City.
So usually what we do before you watch, because we like to talk about where all this stuff came from, right?
Uh-huh.
We got it. We have all the cards. Not all of them. Most of the cards.
We have a good amount of cards.
Yeah. Those cards that Marvel used to come out with, especially in the 90s, the early 2000s. And Derek just happened to have a plethora of Nick Fury cards.
Yes, because no one wants Nick Fury cards, so they gave them to everyone. So I'm going to read from two of them. I'm going to read mostly from the 1990 card, but I also want to share the quote from the 92, 90Q.
90? You could have kept going with it.
Well, you know, it just sounded too silly. The 92 card. All right. So listen, Nick Fury, of course, in the 1991, here he is. He's white. He's wearing a blue outfit. He's got a gun.
Okay, real quick. Can I just say, because you did mention he's white, there, Nick Fury in the comics that is black is Nick Fury Jr. It's a whole big thing.
Great.
The one in the MCU is this Nick Fury.
Yes, but this Nick Fury, as you'll find out, is from World War II anyway. So it just doesn't fit the timeline of what we're doing in the MCU.
What does?
Nothing. The Phases. The group affiliation is S.H.I.E.L.D. He's the leader. His height is 6 feet. His weight is 225 pounds.
Wow. Pretty even, normal guy.
Yeah. Yeah. He's statuesque.
He has too many muscles for that weight, though. Just saying.
Well, for 6 feet, 225, he's packed tight. Packed tight.
Yeah.
Battles fought, 843.
Oh, God. I forgot about this weird stat.
Wins, 679. Losses, 132. Ties, 32.
That's not bad.
I love these ties. What does the tie mean?
Meaning, like, they both escaped and nobody could really win.
Okay. You know? Yeah. So the win percentage is 81%. A solid B.
That's
fine. B-.
Director of S.H.I.E.L.D., you kind of want that.
Yeah. That's good. High percentage. His arch enemies are Madam Hydra, Baron Strucker, and Yellow Claw. Not to be confused with White Claw.
Or the Claw.
The Claw. Yeah. From Toy Story.
No. He was Andy Serkis.
Oh, yeah. So his first appearance is in the comic Sergeant Fury and His Howling Commandos number 1, which was released in May of 1963. Now, I do also want to say that on the 1992 card, it says that it was released in December of 1963. So who knows?
Yeah. Again, timeline.
Right. Doesn't matter. It's all whatever, Loki. So his bio. Having established a reputation as a brave and fearless soldier during World War II, Nick Fury was chosen to head S.H.I.E.L.D., the Strategic Hazard Intervention Espionage Logistics Directorate. That threw me off. And it's
what would it have been?
I don't know. Department. And its mission to detect and destroy covert threats to the democratic way of life. With his vast combat experience, technological know-how, and fighting prowess, this tough-talking, hard-hitting super spy is more than a match for just about any opponent he faces.
Yeah, that's very much of the time. Yeah, that's, yep.
Mm-hmm. I loved all the alliteration in that sentence.
That's exactly fantastic. Why. They used to have fun in comics.
They sure did. I had a great, that was a romp.
Stop.
Did you know Nick Fury regularly ingests the top secret infinity formula to maintain his youth and vigor?
Sure. That makes sense.
Gross.
I mean, that explains why nobody ages in comics.
That's okay. I like that, actually. His real name is Nicholas J. Fury.
What else would it have been?
And the quote from the 92 card is, I ain't much for chains of command, pal. I'm just a soldier that gets results.
Says the person that becomes the director of a top secret organization. Okay.
And by chains of command, he needs to be on top.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. So that's Nicholas J. Fury.
Those cards are amazing. We'll post them. They're always fun
to look at. They're so great.
Yeah. It's always humbling to know where we came from. Or where it came from.
Them.
The thing we like.
I do also want to mention that on the 91 and 92 cards, he's smoking.
Yeah, he smokes a lot. Yeah. I'm currently reading every single issue of Doctor Strange, starting in Strange Tales from 1951.
That's wild.
And literally in Doctor Strange's origin story, he does surgery. Before he even takes his gloves off or his smock, he's taken his cap off. He lights a cigarette right in that operating
room.
Right
in the OR, baby.
I'm like, that's fine.
Yeah, not a big deal.
All right, so we did those cards, right?
Yes.
On our Discord, we have a chat that's specific for Patreon members. And Stefan, one of our OG Patreon members, OG listeners, great friend, he asked us to do the Marvel Snap game card equivalent.
Also a card.
That could relate to this. There's no information on these cards. Unfortunately, they're beautiful. They come out with different variations with artists. The game is a lot of fun. I highly recommend downloading it. We're not getting paid to say that. I just really like it. So he sent the Super Scroll card. Super Scroll is a scroll that has all the powers of the Fantastic Four. His name is Clark.
Clark.
How is it spelled, Derek?
K-L apostrophe R-K. Clark.
But his card is a two-power card, and his ability is has the ongoing effects of all enemy cards, which...
Well, that makes sense.
As a Super Scroll.
Yeah.
You should.
Yeah, like, isn't, like, but like one of his arms is, like, fire, one of them is stretchy or
typically,
something.
Typically, yeah, typically how they depict this guy is, like, he'll have, like, a thing arm, an invisible limb or something, yeah, a fire arm, and he's stretching all of them.
Yeah.
So, Fantastic Four, you know.
He's like those crabs where, like, one of their claws is giant and the other one is, like, regular.
Yeah, like a fiddler crab.
Is that what they are?
Yeah, it's like a fiddle.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah.
He plays his little fiddle.
That's a crab fact.
It's another edition of crab facts.
Oh my god. Throwback.
Yeah.
So who are the Skrulls? Let's talk about the comic versions of these guys and also how all of this ties into Secret Invasion. Because we want to be prepared. We want to know.
Yeah.
And
who
don't
are the Skrulls?
Don't you want to know?
Are you asking me or the audience?
No, them.
Oh, okay. Well,
I'm
wait
looking
for an
at you, talking to them. So they first appeared in Fantastic Four number 2. They go all the way back.
Wow.
To the Marvel's first family, like their first comics. And that was in 1962, created by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby, the gods of Marvel and comics in general. The Skrulls were inspired by Cold War paranoia and communist infiltration fears, which I, you know, a lot of the characters in comics come from real life political means or socioeconomical means or anything like that. And I love that the paranoia, they created these aliens that could shapeshift into anyone.
It was like the Red Scare made the Green Scare,
yeah,
of the Skrulls, basically. Yeah.
Exactly. They posed as the Fantastic Four to create chaos and prepare for an invasion of Earth. I would love it. That's like the first thing we get for as MCU Fantastic Four. I know we're getting Skrulls now, but that would just be amazing. The whole, like, half of the movie is the Skrull versions of them. And then it's like, wait, no. I don't know. That'd be fun.
One of my favorite things is when there's like a double of a hero or something in a comic or a show, when they look exactly like them, except for like one thing, you know? So it's like, so instead of the stripe on the shoulder, it's a star or something.
Oh,
and that's
hey,
what makes them a little different.
That's part of espionage. You need to look out for that stuff.
I mean, but the Skrulls are so good.
Yeah. Well, they are. They really are.
They're so good.
I mean,
they don't make mistakes like that.
The Skrulls, though, were outwitted in this story.
Tell
by
me how.
Mr. Fantastic, who used images from Marvel's Monster Comics to fool them. And he even hypnotized them to make them think they were cows.
That took a turn that I was not ready for.
It is so... it's so early Marvel. It's so Stan Lee. It's so, like, of course that is.
Why cows?
Why not? Because they just eat grass and moo, and you can tip them over.
Did they change into cows, or they were just thinking that they were
sure.
cows? Moo.
So from there, the Skrulls became a very significant cosmic threat when the Super Skrull, or combined with all the powers of Fantastic Four, was sent to Earth for revenge. So that's where Clark comes in. And he's really a big foe to the Fantastic Four and the greater Marvel heroes going forward. He's kind of like an experiment of when they're like, oh, they have superpowers, that we our shapeshifting isn't enough.
Mm.
Let's experiment. And that's
Clark
who he
was
came.
Born.
Right. But they're not all that way. So you have to kind of undergo this thing or clone Clark, which has happened. So that way you have different... and multiple of Super Skrulls, so
sure,
yeah.
And it's not something like where they need a piece of your hair or something.
No, they
like
could
that.
Just do it.
They could just do it.
Yeah, they could just do it. So all of this really led to, and we found out about this in Captain Marvel, the movie. It's the conflict between the Skrulls and the Kree. They're the two alien races that are always at conflict with each other. Who's right? Who's wrong? It's really up for you to decide. A lot of times, it's one or the other, depending on who is writing the story. the war in that one had Captain Marvel, the first hero that had Captain Marvel as a name, and brought together all of the heroes of the Golden Age and humans and everything to fight them. So that's really where the Skrulls came from. It all led to that, and they're still around.
And here they are wreaking havoc still.
And here they are. But one of the biggest things, and the namesake for the show, is actually of a comic with the same name.
Exactly. So yeah. In 2008, Brian Michael Bendis wrote an 8-issue run of Secret Invasion.
Thank you, Brian Michael Bendis, for Miles Morales.
Just saying. Heck yeah. And I will say this Secret Invasion was quite entertaining because it has like hundreds of heroes in it, which is really cool to see.
A lot. We'll get into like the differences between like the source material and what we're probably going to be getting, but it's so different.
Yeah. And like literally the first pages are going to be so different because it starts off with Tony Stark, RIP, in the MCU, bringing Hank Pym and Reed Richards, who doesn't exist yet, to Japan to see a dead Elektra who's actually a Skrull.
Yeah, so Elektra also not in the MCU. So already very different.
Yes, very different. And Tony's like, something's up, folks. And then a Skrull ship crash lands in the Savage Land, which we don't have either.
No.
In the MCU.
Oh, it's probably there. We just don't know.
That's true. There are dinosaurs there. That's the most important thing. And so Tony's like, all right, I got to go check this out. I'm going to go get the Avengers to go. And then Spider-Woman gives Luke Cage a call because he is, who is he? The leader of the new Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, you got to check this out. And they're like, okay. So they all fly there. And when this ship opens that crashed in the Savage Land, it actually releases a whole slew of like golden era versions of the heroes.
Yeah, this, it's so cool because like reading the comics or like looking at it from when this is all done, right? We had Civil War, the first Civil War, which had Captain America and Tony Stark up against each other because of the Sokovia Accords, which is funny because in the MCU, we've already gotten that. And in the comics, the Sokovia Accords, you had to register yourself as a superpowered person, essentially making the government slash this entity keeping tabs on you. Mm-hmm. Like if you were going to practice superheroism and you had powers, you had to register. And so from Civil War, even after that, it created fractions of people that did register, like Tony and his people, and some people that didn't, which are like the Young Avengers and all of those people. So that led into Secret Invasion, which then this leads into another major event. So like for a good like years, we had huge big events in the comics, and Secret Invasion kind of like catapulted a lot of the stuff. But bringing back Golden Age heroes was so cool because they had their original costumes too.
Yes. Yeah. So Luke Cage, who is leading one faction of the Avengers, is dressed all in black, and he sees like OG Luke Cage come out in his headband and yellow like button-down shirt.
Power Man. Yes. So good.
And then like Hawkeye is there, who's Ronin right now.
Yeah.
But like OG Hawkeye comes out and he's dressed in purple.
Yeah.
So they're like, something is wrong here. So it's weird that these two factions of Avengers who don't necessarily get along now have like this common enemy.
Yeah.
Coming out of this ship.
Yeah, this comic did a really good job. Brian Michael Bendis did a good job of, as the issues go on and more people that are revealed as Skrulls, it gets more and more, you feel the paranoia. You're like, okay, so who can I trust? And that's kind of the whole theme, right?
It's right.
Like, you can't. Or you can trust people to a certain extent, but not fully. It's very interesting. And then for them to throw other versions of these heroes in the smack dab middle of them is just so good. That's smart on their part.
It's very smart. And even like the people who you originate the storyline with, like Hank Pym actually turns out to be a Skrull.
Yeah.
So when he's left alone with Reed Richards, he actually takes him captive.
Yeah. He like makes him explode into like putty.
Yeah. And then they put him in like this crazy Skrull torture device that's just like fully stretching him out. It's pretty brutal. We even have a moment when we think that Tony Stark might be a Skrull, but Spider-Woman is just like playing games with him.
I like that one because Spider-Woman does turn out to be like the queen that's really running all this stuff. And I liked that because they injected Tony with like the Skrull virus, him in his head, he keeps questioning, wait, I probably am a Skrull. Like, I don't, am I not a Skrull?
Yeah.
I'm not. And it's just, it's so cool because you're seeing a character in the comics deal with that paranoia while all this other shit is happening. It's crazy.
It's really crazy because part of it is he's falling apart a little bit because his suit has fallen apart because human Jarvis, I say human Jarvis because in the MCU, he was a computer system.
Yeah, in the comics, he was a human.
He was a human, but he's actually a Skrull in disguise.
Yeah.
He releases an alien virus that shuts down like everything.
The whole global defense system. Yes.
So everything. Stark Enterprises, down. Tony Stark's suit, down. The prisons of the Raft and the Cube, down. The S.H.I.E.L.D. helicarrier falling from the sky.
Yeah.
A bomb blows up on S.W.O.R.D.'s space station. It's just like everything is going haywire.
Oh, yeah.
At the same time, Sue Storm, easy breezy beautiful blonde, Sue Storm, she walks into the Baxter building and her brother and her kids are like, hey, hi. And she's like, middle fingers. She walks to the back. And she opens up a portal to the negative zone, which blasts the Baxter building.
You might know, I love the Fantastic Four. When I read that for the first time, even though I knew something was up with Sue, I was shook. I'm like, they are children.
Yeah.
What is happening?
Yeah.
I don't like this one bit. Brian Michael Bendis, when he has a good, like, story, he will go far. He'll go far.
Yeah.
And he went far.
but it makes it really fun.
Right.
It makes it so fun.
Right. It's not like what the cards we just read where he's like the dynamic Howling Commandos and they did it. It's like, no, everybody's in trouble.
I enjoyed at the beginning of all of these issues. They, of course, give you like a little summary of what happened in the issue before it.
Right.
But around the summary is a border of like all of the characters that you've met or most of them. And the ones that have a little tiny green border around their photo are Skrulls.
Yeah.
So it's like the people that you've learned are Skrulls
already.
And
it keeps growing.
Yes.
Yeah.
So basically all hell breaks loose. No one can be trusted. The Skrulls have infiltrated all of the mightiest groups. And throughout the series, there's basically a fight going on in the Savage Land and a fight going on in the middle of New York. But you meet the Thunderbolts. You meet the Young Avengers. You meet cadets from the Initiative who are like brand new, just registered heroes. You also see Nick Fury, finally, who is in charge of a group called the Commandos.
Yeah.
And we also see Norman.
Oh, my God. Okay. So Norman Osborn. So how it really ends, like this like story ends.
The big sort of cliffhanger-y thing.
Yeah. Is like Norman kind of does the final blow on TV. So everybody sees Norman Osborn helping, like pretty much negating the alien threat. And so even though the Avengers and all these people literally did everything else and after that have to go into space and destroy the spaceship up there. So he gets all the credit. And so that hot off the heels of the Sokovia Accords and people not really trusting superpowered people and doing this, Norman is really set up into a particular and precarious position of power.
Yeah.
Where he's more accepted in the public. And that's what like starts the Dark Reign story event after this, where it's like Dark Avengers and Norman Osborn versus, it's crazy. It's very good. I highly recommend reading all of these because they're just wild. They're so wild.
At the end of this, you see him like sitting with Dr. Doom and some of the bigger evils and you're like, uh-oh, that's not good.
Yeah.
I do also want to point out that in the comics, there are sort of three women that really lend themselves to helping save the day.
Oh,
this entire thing.
Are you going to say who I think you are?
I don't know. Well, okay, one of them is Black Widow.
Okay, right.
Yeah, so she's in the Savage Land and she's like shooting all the Skrulls. She's like, Tony, she's trying to brainwash you. Bow, bow,
bow, bow. She like snaps Tony out of it.
Yeah.
And then it's like, here's some adrenaline. It's going to hurt.
Yeah, basically. the second person is Agent Brand.
Oh, yes.
She's this like really cool green lady.
Oh, so good. And Sword.
Sword. Yes. Yeah. So she's from Sword. She's on the ship when it blows up, but she's like in a protective bubble. She's the one who frees Reed Richards, who ends up creating the device that can tell who's a Skrull or not. So she really helps it. And the other one is Maria Hill.
Yay.
So she's part of the helicarrier crew. She goes against Jarvis. There is another weird thing that happens in this comic that's left as another cliffhanger, in that Jessica Jones leaves her baby with Skrull Jarvis.
She doesn't know.
She doesn't know.
She doesn't know that he's a Skrull.
Yeah, so baby Danielle gets left with the Skrull.
I didn't realize that you don't know what happens.
No, I don't know what happens.
Yeah, so a lot of that because... So Jessica Jones in the comics is married to Luke Cage and they have a baby named Danielle. Adorable. They leave the baby with Jarvis. Prior to this, like, Jessica Jones and Luke Cage have kind of not been in the vigilante thing because they're raising a child. So she leaves it with Jarvis, who's a trusted person. While all this fighting is happening, you find out he's a Skrull and you're like, oh shit, Danielle's with him. So comics after this leading to Dark Reign is partly Luke Cage trying to get his daughter back. Mm-hmm. It's insane. It's so, it, like, the heart pumping just keeps happening. Like, it's like so much tension. Ah, so good. I thought you were going to mention Janet, the Wasp.
Oh, yes. No, I should mention so that.
So Hank Pym is a Skrull.
A Skrull.
And prior to this, he injected her with something in case they needed to go back to regular size. Why would she think other than that? Because that's what they do. They go big, they go small. Turns out he like injected her with something that would make her blow up.
It was like a bioweapon.
She became a bomb.
Yeah. She like exploded all this like black stuff everywhere.
And when I tell you, like, the Wasp, Janet is an OG Avenger, OG character. So like for Brian Michael Bendis to make her explode.
He axed her.
So sad.
Yeah, I guess that is fair. I shared the three women who helped thing, but he does kill a lot of women in this.
Yeah.
He also kills Mockingbird.
Oh.
That yeah. whole thing.
Yeah, Mockingbird. It's
Hawkeye's.
Long story short, lover. It's Hawkeye's love of his life, who is the same character in the Hawkeye, his wife. Like, that's why we were theorizing, remember, is she Mockingbird?
Yes.
Right. So it's that same character. She does end up dying, which is really sad.
Mm-hmm. And like she thinks she's real, but she's really a Skrull.
Right.
It's a whole thing.
Yeah. It's sad.
Yeah. But I, you know, I really enjoyed these 8 issues. I got through them really quickly. It's so wacky and wild and all over the place because it's mostly battle. There isn't a lot of like exposition. There right. isn't a lot of like long, thoughtful conversations. It's just like crazy stuff keeps happening. The Skrulls are here. And so basically the Skrulls are just trying to. They've been planning this invasion because they want to take Earth over as their new home.
Yeah, which is fine.
That's it.
Yeah. There is a new Secret Invasion comic that's very much more current by Ryan North, who is currently doing Fantastic Four, and Francesco Mobili?
Sure.
I want to say that's the name. Much more Marie Hill and Nick Fury focused, and it's much darker and espionage-y.
Which sounds very similar to what we might be getting.
It's like still far removed, but closer.
Mm-hmm.
Not as many heroes.
This is very super.
Right, right. So that's those are the, like that explanation and what you have seen in the trailer for what we're about to see. Totally different.
Nothing alike. Yeah.
So different. So this is the part of the before you watch where we kind of more focus on the show and the stuff that we know. And stuff that we think we might know. So we know it comes out June 21st, which is a week
fact
from when this comes out. The plot, right? Okay, so I'm going to kind of, it's always fun to be like, where in the MCU have they come from / to get them here? The post-credit scene for Spider-Man Far From Home revealed that Nick Fury had been throughout that movie, actually the Skrull Talos in disguise. While the real Fury was aboard a Skrull spaceship. We know this because of Captain Marvel. We know who Talos is, and we know that there is a faction of Skrulls trying to find a home. That's the whole point of Captain Marvel and why she was gone. The question is, though, why did Nick Fury get on that ship? Why did he leave? We kind of know that it's possible because of the events of Endgame, and he lost Tony, he lost Black Widow, he lost a lot of people close to him, so maybe he did that, but I'm really hoping to find out why.
Yeah, well, it seems like he knows that he was needed on Earth, and that's why he sent Talos. I mean, I think he was the one that sent Talos, right?
Or he just stayed. Yeah, I mean, I think those are the questions we don't know. I mean, and like in Spider-Man, it was just like, oh, shit, Maria Hill and Nick Fury are Skrulls. Where are the other ones?
Yeah. And it's very mysterious for him to not be in the middle of the action because he's always been that way. He's right. always popped up and said, we need you. We got to do this. This is what we're working on.
Yeah. So somehow he gets news of something happening on Earth because he's back on Earth. We know from the trailers or can assume that he is back on Earth because a rogue fraction of Skrulls led by Gravix, who's a new character, but the leader of the rogue fraction of Skrulls. Oh my God, these words are so hard to say together.
They're
rogue,
all made up.
Rogue faction of Skrulls. There we go. I said it.
That's not made up. Rogue. I was trying to help you. I was just saying that they were made up. Skrulls is made up. That's not real.
But so what we know is like it seems like he's dissatisfied with what Talos and Fury and all of them are trying to do. One of the bigger things, and from what we could tell from these trailers, is that they're fed up with it. There's a part of them that just wants to take over where they're at now. If that's the end game, I guess we'll find out.
This is like, when I think about what we see in the trailer, especially with Gravix, is that his name? Is like, it feels almost like the Matrix, how he can like multiply and there's many of him. And
those are just other Skrulls looking like him.
But it feels like the Matrix. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like with the agents. Oh, I know. They can just be everywhere and look like each other.
Agent Smith.
Yes, exactly. So it's like, oh gosh, we're getting like spy espionage Matrix. Everybody's wearing trench coats. It's crazy.
Yeah, I'm very excited for that. The cast is a very interesting cast. We have Nick Fury, Samuel L. Jackson, former director of S.H.I.E.L.D., working with Skrulls at some point. We don't know.
Space pirate.
Yeah, we don't know any of that. Hopefully, we will find out. Ben Mendelsohn, as Talos, who we've seen before, leader of the Skrull sect that is an ally to Fury and our heroes, we can assume. Kobe Smulders, a.k.a. Maria Hill. Love her. She's love back. Her character. She's back. And she understandably is pissed off at Fury because she's been trying to contact him and he's like, nope, not returning any calls.
She's furious with Fury. Yeah.
You got it.
Got him.
Martin Freeman, Everett K. Ross.
This guy.
Former agent of the Central Intelligence Agency, CIA, ex-husband of Valentina Allegra de Fontaine. Who we last saw
friend of Wakanda
in Wakanda Forever, who was rescued by Okoye, aka the Midnight Angels.
He's another one.
So many names.
These are the roles you want in the MCU. Don't be a major hero. Be someone in like S.H.I.E.L.D.-ish, swordish territory, because you can just pop up whenever you want.
It's really true.
Right?
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. So I'm happy to see him back, though.
But you don't want character. Kingsley Ben-Adir's role as Gravik. Because
he might be dead. He might be dead.
So he's the leader. And what I'm really curious about is if you remember in the trailers. So you know how we talked about Super Skrulls?
I do remember that.
It looks like he has very, I don't want to say stretchy powers because there's no Mr. Fantastic. But he makes his arms into viney things.
Yeah, they're very stretchy.
And there's also scenes where a bunch of people are laying under these like glowy blankets. Which I can only assume is somehow they're creating Super Skrulls.
Like cloning again.
Cloning and then making Super Skrulls because Skrulls shouldn't have the ability to stretch like that.
Right.
Doesn't seem like something a normal Skrull can
because
do.
Because he, like, that's just him in his, like, Skrull form. Although, no, he's disguised as someone.
Right.
Confusing.
His Skrull form is his Skrull form.
Right.
And then he shapeshifts, but he can't have stretchy vine powers. That's just not part of it.
Mystery.
Yeah. So they're creating possibly Super Skrulls is the point. All right. We got three more major players. Okay. Emilia Clarke as Gaia, who is Talos's daughter, which we did see in Captain Marvel, but she was a child. She was a baby. Remember, that took place in the 90s. So it's like
forever ago.
Yeah. 20 years more. This way. So she turned into Emilia Clarke.
All right.
What if the Skrull just likes Emilia Clarke, and she's like, I want to look like her, so it's actually Emilia Clarke, but it's a Skrull of Emilia Clarke.
Exactly. It's Khaleesi.
Yeah.
She was a fan of Game of Thrones.
So one of the newcomers, which I think we have to really keep an eye on, is Olivia Colman as Sonya Fallsworth, which I love the name. But she's a high-ranking MI6 agent, old ally of Fury. They want to protect England's national security. So there might be some like, I want to protect my people. You're fucking it up type thing. I don't know if I can fully trust her.
She's got to be Queen Varenki.
This whole slogan of this is, who do you trust? Not her.
Not her. Not Olivia Colman.
I'm going to love her performance.
Heck yeah.
But I'm not going to trust her.
She's going to be the queen.
Yeah.
Surprise. And I'm the leader.
And last major player of this is Don Cheadle as James Rhodey Rhodes, War Machine. Unfortunately, lost his ability to use his legs. Tony helped him with that. The reason why he's in this, and I think it's apparent, is it's leading to Armor Wars, which originally was his TV show, and now it's being made into a movie. We'll see. But that whole thing is about Tony's tech being compromised, and we don't need that.
Do you want to know who one of the major characters that wasn't in the Secret Invasion comic was?
Who?
It was War Machine.
War Machine.
He's not in it.
Yeah, but I actually like this change because he, prior to being in the Avengers and everything, he was a high-ranking military person, very close to the president. And this one, he's back to being close with the president. So is he a Skrull? Is he not? How is this going to relate to other things? But I feel like he's going to play an important role, either being like an antagonist in some way to Fury or an ally, which I hope he
it's
is.
It's like another Civil War situation.
Mm-hmm.
I also think, you know, what a question that's going to have to come from this is that if some of our major players here, I mean, granted, the ones that actually aren't Skrulls, if they are Skrulls in this, where are the real people?
Yeah, exactly.
Are they still up in space with a Nick Fury or something? Like, what is
if
the deal?
They're disguising themselves to like infiltrate? Pretty sure those people are probably dead, They're like major characters, right? So, like, if Rhodey turned out to be a Skrull at some point in the show, they're not going to kill him. They're not going to kill Rhodey.
He's in a ship.
He's in a ship.
He's in a space jail.
Hopefully. I hope so. But that's true. So, like, it begs the question, right? So, this whole series is rogue faction of Skrulls are fed up with Talos and Nick Fury.
Yeah.
They infiltrated, put themselves in position of power, whatever. They're trying to do something. In the trailer, we hear Fury talk about his last fight. Could it really be his last one? He's in the Marvels. What is the timeline? Does this technically take place after it? Does Talos take his place after Nick Fury actually dies? I don't know. But what do the Skrulls really want? And how does that really affect Nick Fury? Because he said in the trailer, it's my war to fight. I always knew it was going to be me. I'm the only one that can stop him. How? Why?
I feel like he's going to be saying at some point, I'm getting too old for this shit.
Oh, I hope so. There's too many Skrulls on this motherfucking ship.
Yeah, exactly.
I do hope so. But I kept trying to think about it after that last, the marketing for Secret Invasion has been amazing. You had to like find the codes in these like conspiratorial boards and put it in. You got the first like 4 minutes of the show. What? Do you know, you don't have to actually answer this. This is just more of a general question. Nick Fury's whole thing at the beginning, right, is because of a power source. Most of his things and S.H.I.E.L.D. and Project Pegasus and the Avengers have all been because of the Tesseract. Captain Marvel was all about that power source that created a light speed thing and devastating weapons and all of that. I'm pretty sure they're after something that has to do with that, because Fury's the only one around now that has that information.
It does feel like they would be after some sort of resource, because I would feel like if it was really a thing of them trying to take over the entire planet, it would probably involve more people
and more heroes
Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. So that feels like too grand of a scheme for this show. But I think you're on the right track. I think there's some sort of resource or secret information that they're trying to get to. Maybe that's why they're trying to infiltrate the CIA or some sort of intelligence agency, because they need information about the whereabouts of X.
And they could really, if in Captain Marvel, before she, finds out who she is and everything, when she escapes the Skrull ship, when she's upside down, the things that they're doing to her head are extracting memories.
Mm.
They could easily do that to Fury to extract the things that they need. Because my line of thinking here is that these Skrulls that are being aggressive and trying to do these types of things are probably not even wanting to stay on Earth, but wanting to get this type of thing to then get back at the Kree them. Here in the first place, which would create the Skrull and Kree War, another one. but it could further a conflict that Captain Marvel might be a part of.
I was just going to say, I wonder if even they're even trying to find Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
I mean, brainwash her and leverage her as a weapon.
I think that's what we will have to wait and see. We'll have to wait and see where this leads off. Is this going to be kind of like a fought in the shadows type thing where like nobody's really going to know about what happened in Secret Invasion? But then does Monica and Carol find out about this? Because they're very much tied to the Skrulls and Nick Fury.
And
so
even we've seen a teaser trailer for the Marvels, right? And Nick Fury is in it. So when does that even take place?
Well, that's
in conjunction to Secret Invasion.
That's why I was curious of Nick Fury saying it's his last fight. It sounds very much like dying words and a thing. And is the Nick Fury that we see in the Marvels Talos, because he's been posing as him already, so it makes sense that he's very comfortable being Fury, and he just wants to continue his friend's legacy in that way. I think at this point, it really could be anything, but I don't believe that the Skrulls just want to make Earth their home. It might be a point that they want to do, but I don't see that as the end game.
They're like, this crap hole?
Yeah.
No thanks.
Yeah. Yeah,
too many battles in here. Have you seen Grand Central Station? It's a mess. The Avengers ruined it every year. It's
they
terrible.
Did. Starting with the Shi'ar ship and all that in Avengers 1. I don't. It's
Hello?
Too much.
Remember Hawkeye? Remember that whole mamma jamma? She saw that shit falling apart too.
Yeah.
It's a mess.
So this show, I really feel like could lead into other things, bigger things than what the show is going to showcase, right? The comics is much bigger, much grander. I was a little disappointed when I found out at first it was going to be spy espionage, very more globe-trotting, self-contained almost, because I want that Secret Invasion that we got in the comics. But I guess I have to wait for something bigger.
I mean, the Secret Invasion in the comics definitely feels sort of like an endgame type situation, right? Where all of the heroes are there fighting. I mean, and we're just not going to get that in this. So it's going to feel more X-Files.
We could possibly get it in a different way. Secret Wars is like the last Avengers movie of this saga. So it's like we could get something like it. And I put that in quotes just in a different way. Like the Skrulls could be involved. Doesn't have to be exactly what happened in Secret Invasion. So I don't know. I think they're still figuring.
And, you know, I always love when we get surprise character appearances. So I'm hoping that we get some people.
I don't even know
showing up.
Who would show up in this? That is alive, that would fit.
I mean, like, Captain America could show up.
In this?
Yeah.
He's gone.
No, he's not. New Captain America.
Oh. I was like, Derek, Steve Rogers is gone.
I mean, right? Because where's he been for a while?
Oh, yeah. That's true, right? So this is coined as present day. I don't know.
Yeah.
I could see Anthony Mackie showing up,
right? And especially right because we've seen him filming with Harrison Ford, so
he has his own movie coming
out.
We
need a trajectory for his character.
I mean, this could very much lead into those types of things. Like, there's gonna have to be something that leads into Brave New World, Captain America, lead into Ironheart, lead into Armor Wars. So this one kind of seems like it's gonna do that. I don't know. I feel like Tony's tech is very much going to be vulnerable at some point after this, and we'll just have to see if his legacy is protected.
Pepper Potts is going to show up.
Please no.
The Gooptress herself back
God.
On the set.
Well, as long as we get to see the daughter, I'm fine.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Oh, my God. All right. So that's all the stuff that we know, that hopefully you learned something new. Join our Discord. Follow us every week. All the new episodes that we're covering of Secret Invasion come out Fridays. You watch the show on Wednesday. Our episode comes out on Friday, ready for the weekend.
We give an extra day to watch in case you don't get to see it on Wednesday.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. One but more.
Yeah. All right. So till next week, we're finally with Nick Fury again. And all of the espionage people that we could think of in the MCU.
With spies. We're going to be spies next week. Oh my gosh, so secret.
All right. See you next week.
Bye. Thanks for listening to A Bite Of. Artwork and editing by our own Noah. Be sure to follow us on Instagram and Twitter @A Bite Of Pod. And on Facebook @ a bite of. If you have any questions, recommendations, or just want to say hi, you can contact us on abiteofpod.com. Please be sure to subscribe, rate, and review to spread the word. See you next time on A Bite Of. Bye.